Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Welcome back to Offside the Football Podcast, the week review. Today, I'm joined by my good mate, my co-host, my Spanish brother, Sergio. How are you doing?
I'm good, as always. Happy to be here, as always. And it's a busy weekend, so excited to talk about it. How are you doing, Job?
Not too bad myself. Yeah, obviously, this is the week review. So this is a show which looks at football over the past weekend, all the games, all the news, all the bits and bobs. So yeah, without further ado, obviously, Tottenham played Arsenal away from home. 2-1 victory for the Gunners. I think a surprise to most people, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Arsenal obviously aren't doing that great this year. Neither are Tottenham, but they're doing better. But yeah, I think it was a bit of a surprise with the goals as well and the stuff that happened in the game. I mean, I always thought it was going to be a close game, but I didn't think Arsenal was going to win or what happened in the game was going to happen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, Lamela opened the scoring now. Wow, just phenomenal that goal was.
Just
how cheeky, wow. Cheeky fucker, just... I know it's mental that it just comes up in your brain and just execute it, which was.
I mean, he doesn't have a right foot.
No, and again, it shows that he's spectacular freshman. I mean, even went through was it Partey's legs as well? So, yeah, that was very surprising and a very good goal in my opinion. Then obviously, Ødegaard scored his first goal to equalize, which was also an okay goal. It was a good Arsenal attack, and his first goal in the Premier League.
Yeah, it was calculated.
He calculated this from that Martin Ødegaard. Yes. And then penalty incident. Now, I don't know if you saw the penalty incident. Do you think it was a penalty or do you think... because I heard yes, no, in between. People weren't quite sure.
It was a penalty because he didn't touch a ball.
Yeah.
So he just touched him as well. I think it's a penalty, yeah.
I think it was reckless defending. It was just he came in from behind and clattered him basically. Whether or not he touched the ball, I think it doesn't really matter. He came from behind. You can give it, you can't give it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's one of those things. And if it's not 100% error, then the VAR can't do anything about it. So it was a penalty, and then Lacazette scored. Now, obviously, before the game, there was a little incident with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who got dropped from the starting 11 after a incident. Yeah. Obviously, he's club captain, so that's a bit odd that that happened before the game in such a big game as well.
Yeah, arguably the biggest game of the club. And he wasn't too happy about it. If you saw his face on the bench, he was just sitting down. And he still won with Aubameyang. So fair play to Arteta. He wasn't very happy at the end of the game, actually, with all the attacks at 10-man Spurs actually had going on after Lamela got sent off. Do you think that was a red card or a second yellow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it was stupid, isn't it? You know you're on a yellow card. I mean, it's flashbacks from Berghaus. You know, he does it all the time. Gets a silly yellow and then gets a red card and he's off. But no, in all seriousness, I think it's just stupid. Like, you know, the chance of getting a second yellow is high. And then you need to make tackles like that.
Harry Kane in the final minutes as well with that free kick that hit off the post. Then Davinson Sanchez and then Gabriel deflected it or saved it. It's a good ending. It's a good North London derby, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I had spectacular goals, first of all, and then it had red cards. I mean, it lived up to the hype, and unfortunately, like always, there weren't any fans about, so that would have made it extra more drama, and all you'd hear is Arsenal or whatever they sing. But Spurs only created 4 chances, which isn't huge. Compare that to Arsenal's 12, so that's 3 times that of Spurs. I don't know.
It's a very decent game by Arsenal.
Yeah, Arsenal played very impressive. That means that Spurs, drop points. I think everybody dropped points because you had Chelsea dropping points, and then you thought, okay, West Ham, maybe not so West Ham, but Everton played Burnley over the weekend, and Spurs, mm-hmm. and then Liverpool tonight could catch them. But none of them did. Everton obviously lost to Burnley. McNeil scored a lovely goal. This week we've been blessed by some lovely goals in the Premier League.
Puskas Award?
The goal of the season, maybe? Maybe not Puskas Award, but it could be goal of the season. Perfectly.
It was a beauty. So that was interesting to see that everybody had the opportunity to like get close to Chelsea and into the top four, and none of them took it. So lucky Chelsea, I suppose. And I think Leicester, are now 4-5 points clear of Chelsea. So they're pretty certain now of their top three spot Champions League for Leicester, I think.
Very. Leicester's been keeping up the performances as well. I mean, they beat Sheffield United 5-0. Iheanacho got a hat-trick. So Leicester's a dangerous side. Dangerous again.
Yeah, and then Sheffield United sacked their manager. I mean, we have a similar incident in Holland with FC Emmer, who obviously are bottom with like 10 points, the same as Sheffield United. But they hold on to their manager, which is, I think, the right thing to do, because I don't know if you saw his stats. I mean, obviously his championship, but that's one of the hardest leagues to play in. He got like 177 wins compared to like 100 and something or 88 losses, something like that. So those were good stats. And then to sack him after one. I mean, what he did last season was mental, man. Like, Jesus, he came like near European football after getting promoted. So I think if they kept hold of him and then got relegated, it would have all been fine. Because who are they going to get now, realistically speaking? Like, you're going to get someone
halfway through a season as well.
Yeah, and your points, you're already relegated. So you could have built maybe on returning to the Premier League instead of trying to stay in it, when in fact you've just been the worst team. Well, not necessarily worst team. I think West Brom have been worse, but they are also in relegation zone, so it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Then another big game in Italy this time was AC Milan versus Napoli. Now, obviously, AC Milan needed the win, but didn't, did they?
No, and Napoli needed the win as well, and they pulled through. I didn't watch the game fully. I think I didn't watch highlights either, but I saw Politano scored at the start of the second half, so Milan had the whole second half to just pull it back. And I saw that Ibra didn't play. So I saw there was some conflict there, and then Maldini said Ibra's not bigger than Milan. And so there was some some conflict or misunderstandings there. But that's pushed Napoli up to fifth.
Yeah, after Roma lost
2-0 against Parma. And Milan just dropping points, and now they're 1 point in front of Juve, but Juve have a game in hand. So return of the Turin side.
Yeah, I mean, I think we spoke about it last week. I don't know. I think Juve are going to finish second at least, and maybe even push Inter. Because Inter sometimes drop points. They've done it earlier this season. But Juventus is also a bit iffy in it. So we'll have to see. But I think the most interesting is probably the fourth place. Because you've got Roma 50 points, Napoli 50 points, and then you've got Atalanta 52 points. Obviously, fourth place is Champions League football. So,
and then Napoli even maybe Hando.
Yeah.
So if Napoli win their game, they go
that's
fourth,
against Juventus.
They win their game. It's against Juventus.
Yeah, it's against Juventus.
So it's a big game for both of them.
I think, that game got postponed. I mean, just saw that they both have 26 games played, so I assumed, but I think the game got postponed.
It's against Roma.
Oh, is it?
Next game is big. It's against Roma, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting game. I mean, the stats, AC Milan had a bit more possession. Both created 12 chances, both had one big chance. Surprised to see Napoli win, to be fair, because they don't really have a striker, and we bang on about this. But Dries Mertens has obviously come back now, and Politano played off the right, which is his preferred position. So big win for the Gattuso, and a big blow for AC Milan, crushing their hopes for the title, maybe. I mean, something really bad has to happen. Does it need to be changed, or will it change between Inter? Because they obviously won 2-1 against away at Torino. So not the most confident win, but, you know, still 3 points. So you can't really go wrong. Then, obviously, in the Netherlands, we had PSV face Feyenoord. Now, I was very excited. Normally, we do very well against PSV. And we were shit. Now, we weren't that bad. The first half was very exciting. It was end-to-end stuff. Obviously, Feyenoord played five at the back to kind of counter the 4-2-2 that PSV play. And obviously, PSV had really big chances in the first couple of minutes. I remember Max should have scored. Marlin should have scored. Big save from Marshman. So it's overall kind of happy, but kind of disappointed. I'm more disappointed than happy because this was the last shot of coming second. But now with just 1 point, you know, just like you didn't even need to play the game because the same amount of point difference, and obviously AZ and Vitesse both won. So yeah, it was a must-win game, and we drew. But the PSV goal was very nice, as well as the final goal. I mean, fine goal, high pressure. They kicked the ball out, and then Linse got it into Sinisterra. Sinisterra played it back to Berghuis, who placed it nicely into the bottom corner in the first half. So that gave United gave Feyenoord the lead over PSV. And then in the first half as well, just before halftime, you see Götze's excellence, just the little dink over the defender into Marlon, who dinks the keeper, which is a good attack from PSV. But overall, Feyenoord had a lot of chances. I think Linse should have scored a header. Getreude had a pretty big chance, and then could have been 3-3 by all means. So it was a very exciting game. I mean, towards the back end, I think it was more like a fight where, like, you've gone the full 15 rounds and you're just knackered. And it was a really exciting game. Like, the tempo was really high. The passing went a bit downhill, right? More mistakes were being made left, right, and center as the game progressed, obviously, because the way PSV played, high press, etc. And then, you know, it takes the energy out. And all that final did was counter, which takes a lot of energy as well. So 1-0, pretty disappointing after all. None of those teams win the game, and none of the teams, which means that Ajax now are officially, well, not officially, but most likely champions of the Netherlands once again. So, it's a bit upsetting.
Just same old, same old, I guess.
Not always. Come on. It's actually the third time in the three last meetings in Eindhoven that the game ended in 1-1. So, make it what you want to make of it. So those were the three big games that we had this weekend. Now, do you want to mention any other little games just that were going on? Obviously, Real Betis, Sevilla, Derby. Yeah. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that.
And Derby. I think it was a very even out game, which highlights not too long ago. It was a great goal from Nesiri. And Sevilla actually played very well. There was a penalty that Betis claimed, where Bonu hit Canales' foot when he got the ball first. I don't think that's a penalty realistically. So it was a very even out game. I mean, if we look at the stats, same possession, Sevilla had one big chance, but Betis had more shots on target, more chances, more corners. They had more attacking wise, but they just couldn't finish it. They know they scored, but the ball bounced off of Borja Iglesias, and they had to clear off the line. It was a decent game, I think. Jesús Navas got the assist and he got man of the match, and it's what Sevilla needed. And they're pushing up for that third spot, 5 points behind, but could do it still, I think.
And obviously, Youssef El Nesyri has now got 14 goals. 14 goals in 26 matches. And his market value is only 14 million. He's 23 years old. So he could be a little, you know, good little pickup for any of the top side teams in La Liga or in the Premier League or anywhere else, because he's actually really underrated, in my opinion. He's been scoring goals. And at the end of the day, that's all the striker needs to do, right? So fair play to Sevilla for winning the derby of Sevilla, right?
What does that mean? El Gran Derby. El Derby Sevillano,
again, 2 years ago. Unfortunately, there were no fans, but hopefully they will be back soon. Then obviously Schalke are now relegated, I think it's safe to say. They lost to Wolfsburg 5-0. Now Wout Weghorst was very good again with 2 assists and a goal. It's just good stuff from Wout Weghorst in the lead up to the Euros, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a good little backup striker for the Netherlands.
Some stuff also about La Liga. News came in today. Hazard is injured. He's got a muscle injury, out for 4 to 6 weeks, which is not great news for Real Madrid. And Zidane's frustrated, that's what he said. And it's just a horror show for Hazard. Just injury, 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 one goal, and then injury again.
Yeah. I mean, when is this kid not injured? When is this man not injured? I mean, it seems to be like since he's joined Real Madrid, it's a bit unfortunate for him, especially because obviously he came from Chelsea.
Such a great player.
So it was a really good player for Chelsea and Lille in the past. So big things were expected. Obviously came with a big transfer fee of £100 million or €100 million, whatever it was. And I don't think he's even played 10 games or 15 for Real Madrid this season. So that's really upsetting. And it's kind of funny at the same time.
Benzema, however, has been playing very well. And it's a game against Elche. He scored 2 goals. The second goal was a great goal, by the way. And it's also a bit of controversy there as well about Ramos' penalty, but then the ref didn't blow for the Elche penalty either, so it's like evened out. And it's just same old Real Madrid scoring in the last minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the recent weeks especially, they've been scoring in the last minutes. I mean, against Atletico and against Elche and against whoever it was before, they've always managed to score in the late minutes of the match, which I think is class, to be fair. I don't think it's lucky. I think obviously, if it happens once or twice, you know, you could say it's luck. But after a while, if you do it 4 or 5 times, I think, you know, you keep pushing and you eventually get your goal.
Didn't happen for Atletico though. They drew 0-0 with Getafe. And if Barca win tonight against Huesca, it's a 4-point difference.
Also, fuck Getafe, man. Fuck them. Like, they're just so fucking annoying. And not a fun manager at all. I think he's hated by the whole La Liga. So, nothing to say about them apart from that they're a shit club and a waste of space. Don't enjoy them.
I agree with that. No.
Anyways, then there was a surprise win for Nantes against PSG. Now, PSG were 1-0 up at halftime, I'm pretty sure. Let me quickly check.
I think so.
They were. After Draxler scored a goal, and then Mouani and Simon scored for Nantes. Now, obviously, there was a little bit something going on, wasn't there, Sergio?
Yeah, so Di Maria got subbed off. And it wasn't just a normal sub where you just bring on another player to try to score. There was some news behind Di Maria subbing off. And turns out his family was being held hostage. His house got broken into. And fortunately, there were no injuries to his family or anything. But it was a scary moment for Di Maria.
I mean, he had no clue because he was on the pitch. So I think Pochettino went down the hall with him and told him that his wife and kids were held hostage and that his house got robbed. So pretty traumatizing for them. And the same thing, I think, happened on the night where Marquinhos' parents got robbed as well on the same night. So targeting PSG players. Very upsetting to see, obviously. Very traumatizing as he didn't know what the fuck was going on and why. Maybe because it was in the 63rd minute. Maybe he was like, okay, maybe I'm tired. Maybe
He was expecting the sub, like a normal sub. And then, that must have been devastating in the moment to just know that.
Yeah, I think he left crying at the stadium. So, that's very upsetting. Now, obviously, Cristiano Ronaldo, a bit more bright news, scored his 5th or 7th hat trick for Juventus.
57th in his career.
Yeah, against Cagliari. And it was a perfect one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Header.
Right foot.
Left foot.
Left, right, left.
And was it? Then he had also a big chance to score his fourth of the game, but as a kind of poor finish, I'm going to lie. You expect more from Cristiano Ronaldo. But I think the one with his left foot was very nice. The step over and then quick feet work and then putting into the left side of the corner. So fair play to Cristiano.
Simeone's son scored as well, though.
In that game. Yeah. 3-1 for Juventus, putting the pressure on AC Milan after their devastating loss against Napoli. Now, obviously, any more surprise wins? Obviously, we talked about Parma beating Roma.
I think something was a bit unexpected was the Granada-Real Sociedad game. Granada beat Real Sociedad 1-0. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much it. You just don't expect that after Real Sociedad have been having such a decent season.
And obviously, we got tonight, we've got two big games. You talked about a little bit. Barcelona face Huesca. Is that how you say it?
Huesca. Yeah.
Big game for them. Like you said,
should be an easy win. Huesca's lost in the league.
Yeah, but seen plenty of teams struggle against little sides. You know, they try and make it as, yeah, worse. Mm-hmm. It could be typically Barcelona this season where they just drop points now on a Monday night.
Hopefully. Inshallah.
And then we also do have Wolves that face Liverpool. Big game for Liverpool as they might find their way back into the top five. Because if they win, they go, I think, over Everton and Spurs.
And Spurs.
So, yeah, big game for them. What do you think is going to... What are you expecting for the first game, Barcelona and Huesca?
I think Barca's just going to win it comfortably. They'll struggle a bit in the last minutes, but I think they're just going to win probably by one goal, maybe. Hopefully they don't, but I think it's just going to be a comfortable win for Barcelona. You got any thoughts about that?
I mean, you saw Elche on high flyers anyways in the league. Mm-hmm. Did a pretty good job against Real Madrid. So maybe we could see the same tonight, but I think a 5-0 is on the cards, not gonna lie. I feel like
5-0.
Yeah, I think I feel like Barcelona are gonna turn up because they need to, and I think Koeman has done a very good job, like I've said in previous episodes.
Of course. Ronaldo Koeman.
Ronaldo
Koeman. Just because he's Dutch, come on now. Don't they get to your head.
No, he's been doing very good, I think.
He's been decent. But we don't read Barcelona. So,
but I think credit is due when it's due. So just like I don't rate Benzema, but Benzema deserves credit.
Benzema's so annoying. Jesus Christ.
And I also wanted to talk about Bayern Munich before we move on to Liverpool quickly. They obviously beat Werder Bremen, like 3-0, and Lewandowski now has 30 goals plus in the Bundesliga. Which I think we mentioned last couple of episodes. So yeah, fuck me, he's a brilliant striker. No one comes near him.
The guy's incredible.
And Müller obviously scored as well.
Unstoppable.
And then Wolves face Liverpool today. Now, Wolves are not the best team. They're probably for me the most disappointing team of this season. You know, because Wolves came into the Premier League, and they were a very exciting team to watch. Good players. You know, you got your Pedro Neto, Podence, Jimenez, who's obviously been out for quite some time, which is obviously a big blow for them. Now they obviously brought in, who was that guy, the Brazilian guy from Sociedad? Williams, Jose. Yeah, he came in, hasn't really hit the ground running yet. So it's going to be interesting to see, obviously, Liverpool won beat Leipzig, basically. They looked good, especially the second half. The first half maybe a bit iffy, so maybe that Wolves can hurt Spurs, can hurt Liverpool. What do you think?
I reckon Liverpool scored that. Personally, I reckon they, after beating Leipzig in the Champions League, they're just going to comfortably beat Wolves, and I think we're going to see an increase in their performances, personally.
Do you think they still make top four? Or do you think Chelsea's going to...
Depends with Chelsea, though. Because Chelsea started very well. They haven't lost yet, but they're going to lose one game. And I feel like after that deadlock is broken, it's just going to start dropping, personally.
Yeah, I mean, they've drawn a couple of times now.
Exactly. The performance has started to dip. Hopefully, they lose mentality on Wednesday. I hope. No, I don't think Liverpool are going to make a top four there. I think Everton's been playing very well. West Ham, Tottenham, good. I'll push for those spots. Aston Villa as well. They're only 2 points behind and they have a game in hand. So I don't think Liverpool is going to be able to put it back to fourth unless the other teams really don't perform that well, as well. I reckon they're going to push up in places. They'll definitely get European football.
Yeah. Whether it's Europa League or Champions League, we'll have to find
Conference
out.
League? Conference League, maybe?
I don't think England's team do Conference League, mate.
No, I'm sure they will.
No, because then you get like...
You'll get like Arsenal in Conference League.
No, you won't get... Yeah, maybe actually. But I think it's more for like the teams from Malta and Feyenoord. Yeah.
I don't know. And Swiss team isn't like teams like that.
Yeah. Sadly, eh? Next year, we got new manager. We got new talent.
Come through with a new one.
We've got the new Mane, Balde, whatever his name is, Senegalese, little decent winger. So I hope he comes in, becomes good. Maybe next year.
Because he's gonna lose Sinisterra.
Yeah, of course.
In the house. And then Forsen, what a real G.
And then we got us Marcus Senesi, who's most likely going to leave for Napoli in the summer. So maybe get 25-30 mil and get him the fuck out of here. We need the money. We're a poor club. And it'll be interesting to see if we get a replacement for him, because obviously Spajic has been alone and Botteguin is like 35 now. So we need some defenders. Maybe Geertruida comes into the centre-back role, which he normally played for in the youth setup, and then Nieuwkoop or someone else right back. And then we'll see. It's for the future anyways. So if we can get 25-30 mil for Senesi, looking good. But then again, because the season ticket holders might get their money or ask for their money back. So, and we are already in a lot of debt. So, well, not a lot of debt, but this financial situation is not good. Just put it that way. So,
not at all.
It's just a bit of a shame. But brings good documentaries, doesn't it? So,
of course,
Disney Plus. Yeah, we're going to be releasing
Disney
one.
Disney Plus, Amazon Prime.
No, they're doing it with Disney Plus. So it will be
Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Final on Disney. Wow.
Yeah, big time. And it's gonna be probably in English. With an English narrator, because we're a big club in it, so we don't speak Dutch anymore. And obviously we've got people from all over the world. So will be interesting to see. I can't wait. And they're already talking about a second season, so I'm fully gassed for that, even though this the season has gone pretty poorly, to say the least. Too many fucking draws.
Too many, man.
But speaking of transfer news, Saul was linked with a move to Bayern Munich. Now, obviously, we had a little bit of a debate over the text. Your thoughts? Quickly let the viewers and listeners know.
Saul hasn't been called up for the Spain squad. It's come out today.
I predicted that as well, didn't I?
And Pedri got called up. Okay. No comment. I don't think he's old enough to play for the Spain squad.
And young talent still. He's been very good. And he has been playing.
Yes, whatever. But no, I don't think Sal will leave. I think he's one of us. He's one of Atleti. He's been there since the start. And I don't think the fans want him to leave. And that obviously means a lot to him. Because if it was like Iker Casillas, where the fans wanted him to just leave because he wasn't playing well, he left. Because that's how Real Madrid are. No shade. But no, I reckon Sal will stay. So it's just in his heart.
You're hoping. You're praying. Because he's not in this Spain squad. Obviously, if you don't get called off for your national team. When
I don't think it'll be a start for Bayern Munich anyways.
Why not?
Goretzka is in his position.
Yeah, but I think Sol's a little bit better than Goretzka.
Goretzka's been banged also.
True. I mean, maybe other big clubs like Manchester United, Manchester City could be potential destinations. But then again, it doesn't really look likely that he will leave to go to the Premier League. And I don't think there's any other options out there for Sol. But he's really got to perform better. I think he's going to win the battle against Lamar then, because he's playing in his position right now. And like you said, he's most likely going to be on the bench because, or replace an aging Müller now. But Müller's still firing on all cylinders, so
but I can't Müller's see that is also very attacking.
True. True, but then maybe they go for Kimmich, Goretzka, and so as a midfield, and then Fofana and Gnabry.
Well, but that'd be Musiala playing at CAM.
Huh?
That'd be Musiala as well, the youngster.
Yeah, but he's too young, and he'll slowly come in. Let's not pretend he's like Haaland and Mbappe. Yeah.
No, no.
But I mean, he's
called so Joe Felix. I mean, if we get 100 million for Joe Felix, he can go. Joe Felix, look at his stats yesterday. He's got 13 starts and he's got 7 goals and 4 assists in the Liga. So it's not bad.
But when it's, just after, him, it's just depressing.
After he got COVID, it's just... No, he scored against Hetafe, but the ball just went off the day before it.
It's true. I mean, you know, shame to say. But yeah, did you see the under-21s Spain squad, or did they not? Did you not see it?
Yeah, the release as well.
Did any Atletico players make it in?
No, there's no young Atletico players that are Spanish.
Did Hermoso make it into the Spanish team?
No.
Who did? Llorente, Coque.
Llorente and Coque.
Is that it? So you're top of the league, yeah. And you only get 2 players.
It's because Luis Enrique played for Real Madrid and Barca. He's just gonna suck them off.
Who else is Spanish and been playing well for?
I think Almoza should definitely be playing.
Who did they select? Like Garcia from City, probably.
Hold on, let me just look at the Instagram.
Because
they got Pau Torres, they got Sergio Ramos, obviously. Hold on, quickly looking it up.
What else could they have?
Yeah, Pedro Borra, Eric Garcia.
Yeah, Eric Garcia. For fuck's sake, who the fuck is this guy? He doesn't play for City. Then how exactly. The fuck do you get selected?
Because he played for Barca.
And he's most likely going to go back to Barca, but... I mean, it's a bit stupid. Like, what does he add? Like, he's a ball-playing defender. Oh, yeah. So what? Like, Paulo...
I think Almoso is so, Almoso is so underrated.
But he played for Real Madrid, didn't he? You saw.
Yeah, but then he left because they're unwanted. But just looking at this, there's no right back. Actually, in the Spain under-21 squad, also was the right back from Dortmund is in the squad, actually. He, Mateo Mori.
Did that guy from the Barca team?
Yeah, Mingueza as well.
Jesus, he's shit. Well, you're not there against PSG then. I know how good he is, but had a pretty fucking poor game after getting subbed on off.
Mm-hmm.
But check out the UCL talk to see what our thoughts are on that. Now, obviously, for the Dutch national team, there was not really any surprises. I mean, Stekelenburg, I think, got called up.
How old is he?
Like 40. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of bullshit, like, because he plays for Ajax, and you know how it goes, Frank de Boer at Ajax.
Of course, it's just the same old story.
Yeah, but Berghuis got selected, so yeah.
Obviously,
but then again, it's a bit. Like, but then again, bro, then I don't want to throw anything out there or make any and like infect or influence anyone in mind. But Frank de Boer's daughter is dating Kelvin Stengs, who is also playing in the same position as Berghuis. So you know how that's going to go, family. Thing going on there, so
maybe.
And Kelvin
Stengs. Is his daughter good looking?
No.
So the guy's just doing it so you can meet Frank de Boer.
Yeah, and he's in the national team. So yeah, probably. And then Geertruida didn't make it in. I'll right back into the youth in the under-21s, even though he's got 6 goals and has been playing very well. So a bit strange, but they took. Brian Brobbey, who scored less goals than him and who's a striker, so hey.
Is what it is.
He's good though, but Brobbey, who obviously left for Leipzig. I don't know if we said that for 4 years. Anyways, I think we're going to call it there. Do you want to say anything? Shout anyone out? Shout anything? Anything?
Obviously, check out our Instagram at Offside Football Podcast. Thank you to to our very talented editor, Jakob. He makes beats. He makes trap beats. He makes all kinds of beats, all for free. Check him out on YouTube at JMXSBeats. Check out his Instagram on our Instagram. Like, once you're following us, you might as well follow him. I mean, I don't see why not. And thank you for sticking around if you're hearing this. I hope you have a good day.
Yeah, and obviously, stay safe, stay home. Go out when you feel like it, get fresh air. And when you're on the train home, go listen to the podcast. Or whenever you're listening to the podcast, just keep doing it and keep sharing. People, we need you to share. We want to grow. The Offside fan base needs to grow. You see, that's what we need. We need a fan base, and we need that to grow. So make sure you go share and like. This won't be on YouTube just yet, because we're thinking of going into YouTube soon. So then we'll do a little face reveal if you haven't seen Sergio already, because you have seen me. If you do follow the Instagram, of course, because I sometimes upload on the story. Make sure you check out other episodes. The best one being the latest UCL talk, which will most likely be the first one that comes up on YouTube. So yeah, do that. And like I said, stay safe, and we'll catch you in a bit.